Welcome to the sixth episode of the Grandmaster Chatcast with most worshipful brother Daryl Fremont and myself, Dan Tooker. Coming off a record episode, Daryl, we'll talk a little bit about that. And without further ado, welcome the current Grandmaster of the great state of Iowa, most worshipful brother Daryl G. Fremont. Daryl, how are we?
Oh, we're doing great, Dan. We just got back from Reno, Nevada yesterday, and I'll tell you, it was a great time and great information, and we'll talk about it in a little bit.
Well, I always feel like you're coming off the road from somewhere when we do these podcasts, so this sounds maybe a little bit redundant. But yeah, it was Shriner International. It's called a bunch of different things, but you were there for the Shriner International Grandmaster Summit recap, right?
Correct. Yeah, it was quite humbling, actually, to be invited. And then when you show up to the meeting and there's 40 grandmasters there, not only from the United States, but I think the three of the provinces of Canada, Mexico, the Philippines. There was a brother, he wasn't a grandmaster, from Lebanon.
Really?
So it was a wide variety of brothers to rub elbows with.
Now, did you just walk around the entire time going, Grandmaster, 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 Grandmaster? I mean, is that pretty much how it goes?
Oh, it's a lot of most worshipfuls.
Most worshipfuls,
a couple of right worshipfuls.
Throw that in there, sprinkle it in.
But that subsided real quickly after, it was first name basis, and was really, really, really impressed. It was facilitated by Sovereign Grand Commander Jim Cole, from the Southern Jurisdiction of the Scottish Rite.
Brother Jim.
Yep. And the topics, and also by Richard Lynn, past Grand Master, current Grand Secretary of Florida. He's also a member of the Masonic Renewal Committee. So there were some really good topics that they covered. And I was just, just amazed at, getting different ideas. Some of the grandmasters, of course, they were just recently installed, maybe less than a month going into it. Of course, me, I just have a couple of months left, but the information that I gathered and things that I'm going to share with the incoming leadership crew and the things that are going on leadership wise and decisions that are being made for the Grand Lodge of Iowa, I think was really timely.
Now, forgive me for being naive, but did you have to be a part of the Shrine in order to be invited to this?
No, you do not. And basically, I received the invitation. I belong to two temples here in Iowa, Zagazig Shrine and El Cahir, and I'd certainly like to thank them and their leadership for inviting me and basically paving the way for me to get there. It was just really nice for them to invite me. I was told that the last time an Iowa Grandmaster was, I think it was Terry Osborne, was the last one that attended, because they've had this for several years, but they've changed the format, and they certainly wanted more Grandmasters there. I think there's a real support for the Grand Jurisdictions, certainly by the Shrine. We're in this together, and it part of fits with what I've been talking about as far as Masonic unity, because they're all Master Masons. We're all Master Masons, no matter what we belong to.
So I think this would be a good time for you to introduce our guests, because I'm looking kind of at our hot sheet, the things that we want to discuss today. And as we were ironing out some technical difficulties, our guest and I automatically fell into some of these topics that you have down. So I will hand it over to you to introduce our guest.
Well, it gives me great pleasure to introduce worshipful brother Jeremy Davis. He's worshipful master of Legacy Lodge, number 678 in Des Moines, also a past senior grand deacon of the Grand Lodge of Iowa. And Jeremy is also a member of our finance committee. And I believe, Jeremy, if I got this correct, I think next year in 2024-25, you'll be the chairman of that committee.
That's correct. And I appreciate the opportunity to join you all on the chat cast today, and looking forward to the discussion.
So why do we have Jeremy on, other than he's a really great guy? I mean, I know Jeremy personally, and we talk about our dogs all the time. So, I mean, we don't want to bore everybody with that. I mean, though we could. But what's Jeremy on for?
Well, Jeremy's been a friend and certainly a brother for a very long time. And I've always enjoyed our conversations. And he certainly comes from a fraternity aspect, not only from Freemasonry, but also from the collegiate fraternity. I believe he's still on a national board, if I'm not mistaken.
No longer on the national board, kind of now insight. A past member of the board. Yeah,
member of the board. Yep, well, still. He doesn't realize it, but part of my theme, the Live the Ritual, he actually, we talked about that a few years ago, even long before I was even in line to be in this position that I'm in today.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jeremy's an excellent ritualist. So what college fraternity were you in, Jeremy?
So I was a member of Acacia Fraternity.
Oh, okay. Very mm-hmm. good. So we were talking about you right now. You are working with Daryl to take a look at the books and just kind of see, you know, where Grand Lodge is heading and looking at forecasting and things of that nature. And as somebody that's in business, you know, we're already talking about 2026. Is that kind of what you guys are doing? You're looking a couple of years ahead.
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, once I joined the finance committee and we started really looking at where the finances of the Grand Lodge were at, where we had been and really where we're going. The reality is you have to look at the membership counts, what our membership trends are, and really where we believe we're going to be heading as we move into the next 3, 5, 10, and 15 years. And so as we started looking at those, it was important to really get factual data in order to really give us a good solid base from where we're at. And so to really put it in perspective, we looked at over the previous 20-year period, which really stemmed from 2001 through 2021, which is where there is actual factual data when we ran the analysis last year. Some people might be asking, well, why is it, you know, 2 years behind? Well, if you know how Grand Lodge works and the way Grand Lodge membership is captured and reporting, it always is basically about 12 to 18 months in arrears. And that is a function of what the operations are actually based upon. There's nothing right or nothing wrong with it. It's just how it is. And the nice thing is that when you do have a window like that, a 20-year window, you do have what's called a generational gap. And so when you look at a generation here, especially in the United States, a generation is approximately 18 to 22 years in length. And so utilizing a 20-year period allows us to capture a generational analysis. That's why we went from 2001 through 2021. And so to put it in perspective, in 2001, we had 28,438 Masons here in Iowa. At the end of 2021, we were down to 11,418.
Wow.
That represents a 59.8% drop in dues-paying Masons over the 20-year window.
If I had that at work, I'd probably be fired. I'm just saying.
I think that's how a lot of people look at that. It's a scary reality. That is the functional truth. It is a scary reality. And, you know, what's really precipitated the challenges the Grand Lodge is facing with finances is the fact that the membership has dropped significantly over a 20-year window. Revenues are not increasing at the rate they were anticipated to back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. But we have a structural facility in Cedar Rapids that does continue to cost money to operate. We have a staff that's required to operate the Grand Lodge. And so we need to come up with ways to not only meet our expenses, but in order to preserve the future of the Grand Lodge. And so when you look at the membership trends based on, functionally speaking, about 150 different data points, a lot of the data points we utilized came out of the U.S. Census Bureau and the Bureau of Labor Statistics. My background, I've got 2 graduate degrees. That's something a lot of people don't know about me. And some of that research and what I did in my grad programs was based on statistics. And so I've got a heavy statistics background. And so it provides me an opportunity to utilize all the data from the available sources outside of the Grand Lodge as well. And you apply that same data to our actual membership dynamics. And so when we looked at the U.S. Census Bureau data along with the BLS data, we were then able to look at it from a county by county basis and start searching where and evaluating where our memberships were actually located. So one of the first things we looked at is just where our membership is actually located in Iowa and how it has changed over the last 20 years. Well, not surprising, believe it or not, within a 60-mile radius of either Des Moines or Cedar Rapids, about 71% of our Masons are located in those two diameters of those two cities. That means we have a unique thing that's occurring, but it's not unique in terms of the state of Iowa or other rural states. Your rural populations are declining. Your urban populations are increasing. That is typically what is happening across the United States. This is not unique to Iowa, but it's a challenge that's unique to the Grand Lodge because our lodges, our local lodges, are heavily built in rural communities. And as a result of that, we've got buildings and facilities located across the state of Iowa. Their memberships are decreasing at a higher rate than what the actual membership is transitioning into the urban areas. That's also creating a unique financial liability for those local lodges to be able to maintain and sustain their local lodge, while at the same time, the population that is staying in the rural areas has increased on average age over 9.5 years in just the last 20 years. So we have an aging population in rural Iowa. We have a shrinking population in rural Iowa. We have facilities for the lodges in rural Iowa that are no longer able to sustain themselves, either structurally or organizationally. And so when you take all those factors together and you look at it from the Grand Lodge perspective, if you apply all the trends, all the metrics of data, when we ran the last analysis during the summer of 23, we can project ourselves out to 2039 to be somewhere in the neighborhood of about 4,597 to 4,650 members is where we will trend out if we keep on the current trajectory. Wow. And so, yeah. So these are some of the numbers we shared at the Grand Lodge communication last year. It is a precipitous drop, but the reality is it will level off in the upper 4,000, somewhere starting around 2030. And that's based on how the aging population in rural Iowa is shifting and the sustaining membership that's occurring at the lodges that are located in these urban centers or the 60-mile radius of the urban centers. So yeah, it's a challenge that the Grand Lodge... Yeah, go ahead, Darryl.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to kind of point out all of this data that Jeremy did bring out last year at our communication. Strategically, I think we started thinking more about how we communicate better in those targeted areas where lodges need some support and to be doing that and getting out there with our lodge service committee redistricting and hopefully enlarging. Getting more boots on the ground to support those lodges, I think was based basically out of the data that Jeremy just shared.
You know what's interesting is our last podcast we talked about really the business of Freemasonry, and it was the most listened to podcast we have had yet. And it, you know, we talk about lodges running their lodge like a business. I know Legacy very well. You guys run it like a business, and that's a good thing. But what I think we're starting to find out is some of these lodges have cut all their expenses. They've done everything that they can. And you see this in business out in the real world where all these businesses are cutting costs, they're cutting this, they're cutting that. But the bottom line is you still need members. That's the bottom line. And Jeremy can say everything that he wants to say, and it's beautiful. He's got the data or data, however you want to say it, and can lay it out there, and we can forecast. But the bottom line is a simple thing. You know, somebody can just go, yeah, Jeremy, we need more members. So, Darryl, one of the things that you brought up in prior to us coming on was marketing versus publicity. And I think, I've seen this. I've been in these discussions based on my background in marketing. You know, I think Grand Lodges all across the United States are now a little bit more open to marketing as opposed to, what they were before.
Yep.
yeah, before we always said, well, you know, we had public relations, you get publicity, get things out in the paper, and those type of things. That's publicity, and that's not a bad thing. But we need to change that and it basically does go into membership development. We need a strong marketing plan to basically tell the story of our traditions, what Masonry is, what it stands for. You know, some of the organizations are doing a good job of that. The materials for Be a Free Masonry, beafreemason.org, by the Northern Jurisdiction of Scottish Rite. These are all materials, but how do you basically collect that and to get it out targeted? And I think, you know, we've tried to do it with volunteers. We've all tried to do it. I think it's time that we put some money into a professional marketing firm to assist us. Mm-hmm. And one of my ideas is to, you know, hopefully come up with a membership development team that can work with vendors or whatever they can do, I think. And I've been talking about it with the other appendant bodies in Iowa. And I think collectively in unity, I think we could do something like that.
Well, let me ask you, Jeremy. I mean, you're looking at the numbers, right? I deal with this every day. You know, I'm the director of sales and marketing for a large TV group. And I go into businesses every day and they say the problem is they need to market. And we're like, okay, great. It's going to cost X to do this. Yep. Jeremy is the guy that shuts it down. Daryl's like, no, we need to do this. But Jeremy is the guy that shuts it down. So what do you think when, you know, you hear Daryl saying, okay, we need to get out there. We need to, you know, publicize us. We need to be there. I'm guessing the, you know, pencil pusher is side of you is like, we can't do that right now.
Well, you know, you would think that could be the answer. Ironically, as the finance committee has met over the last couple months and we've really parsed into the finances, I'll be the first to say the Grand Lodge finances are extremely tight and we've been looking at multiple different ways to reduce expenses, find ways to expand the sustainment of the current revenue coming in. But the one thing that we are going to be likely proposing as part of our plan for the budget coming up this year, and it hasn't been fully agreed to yet by the finance committee, but I'd say we're pretty much on track to get a number finalized. But we've proposed initially to authorize the trustees of the Grand Lodge to allocate $75,000 from the investment fund into building a marketing and membership retention program to help benefit the Grand Lodge of Iowa. And as Daryl mentioned, over the last several years, we've talked and said, oh, we need membership. We need to promote ourselves. We need to do publicity. And publicity is great. It actually is great. It's a good way to just share that you exist in a community. But what it does not do, it does not share the story about who we are, why we exist, and what we actually do. And you have to be able to tell your story the right way in order to help people understand who we are. And to do that, we have to be willing to invest into an external group that can help us build a plan that meets the needs for Iowa. And, you know, the Be a Free Mason story program that the Northern Jurisdiction created, I give them absolutely a lot of props for.
They do a nice job at that.
They did an absolute knockout job with that. The reality is it's a nice national-based program. It does have some tie-ins to pretty much every state. You can share a tweaked message everywhere you're at with it. But what it does not have the Iowa touch it needs. And because Iowa's personalities are different. You know, we are the quintessential, we are the Iowa nice people. And so you have to build a story around the Iowa nice concept. And, you know, I work in business and you have to be able to share your story about what fits for the culture of the place you exist in. And if you're not willing to share the culture and build around the culture you exist in, you cannot be successful at building a marketing plan. And that's why we're looking at requesting the authorization from Grand Lodge to have the trustees invest $75,000 as a one-time expenditure to do this for the upcoming year.
So let me play devil's advocate because you said culture, right? You're looking at if this goes through and this is the plan, you are actually changing the culture of Freemasonry.
Sure you
because are. You're sitting there and you're talking about these, you know, small towns. Think of the, you know, the five guys in Tipton, Iowa that have their lodge and they believe in you got to ask one to be one. and then you're going to roll this out.
You betcha.
How do you do that, Daryl? That's on you, man.
Well, it's what I've been preaching all year. Yep. And it's not, we're not, and I'm not the only one. It started with Bill Post, you know, getting things reignited. Mm-hmm. He started the whole thing. It's like, we've got to get out there and talk about ourselves. And then with past master Ted Wiley, we're not changing our traditions. We're not changing our ritual. We're not changing mm-hmm. our tenets, our values, or anything like that. But we need to change how we do things. And Ted Wiley put it out there best. Are we easy to do business with? How easy are we to do business with? And, you know, that rang true with me. And that's why I've been talking about, you know, we're not changing anything. We need to change. There's going to be an emphasis, and Jeremy touched on it. You've touched on it. We talked about it last episode, is everybody needs a business plan. We always said, well, they need a budget, they need this. No, you need a business plan mm-hmm. because you need to, you know, plan for the future. And that's the only way you're going to survive. And it's the only way we all are going to survive. And I think in unity, I think all of us together, that'd be the York Rite, Scottish Rite, Shrine, Eastern Star, our youth groups, everybody. And it also includes our Prince Hall brothers and sisters. You know, as they advance, we advance, and vice versa. And we're all in this together. We're all Iowa Masons. And I think that's the niche. And if we come together in unity, I think we can market ourselves pretty well.
You know what I think is interesting about what you just said? You mentioned all the other appending bodies. There is one of those appending bodies that I think is way behind when you talk about evolving. And from state to state that I've been to, it is the appending body that seems to be suffering the most, and that's the York Rite. And you see the Shrine doing things, and the Shrine has the advantage of the hospital, no doubt. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, you see a lot of the TV Shrine commercials and all that, and they run at very different times, and you see them in a high volume. What they do is they go in and they buy a high volume of commercials for a very low cost, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of those commercials can be bumped and moved around and all of that. So they have the advantage because they have the hospitals, right? I think that both the Southern and especially the Northern jurisdiction of Scottish Rite have done a really, really nice job of getting out there and embracing social media, especially. So I think what you're saying is dead on. You know, the word that we've all ignored saying is we're talking about recruitment. I mean, you're mm-hmm. basically talking about recruitment, which is fundamentally different than this whole thing started. So, you know, as the Grand Master, I mean, you're talking about recruitment.
Yes,
how
I
does
am.
That feel? How do your peers feel about it?
I feel very strongly about it. And I think there are a lot of people out there that feel strongly about it too. But the thing that I most feel strongly about is that we recruit quality and not just quantity.
So how do you do that? How do you do that?
I think you take your time. I don't think we just, you know, the first thing we do is when we meet somebody and we give them the elevator speech, we put a petition in their hand. I don't think so. I think you get to know the person a little bit, whether you, you know, have coffee with them or lunch or, you know, go out for a beer or whatever, and kind of get to know their story a little bit, where they're coming from. And the one thing too about membership, is we are getting a lot of inquiries, and through beafreemason.org and other avenues, and we've got to do a better job of following up. And I'm going to talk next week at the Lodge Service Committee meeting coming up. It's kind of my ending about restructuring our Grandview system so that we can assign inquiries to different lodges, and that they will have the ability to view that they're actually being followed up on. Because I think we're missing some that are falling through the cracks because of that.
Jeremy, how do you feel about it?
I completely echo what the Grandmaster just shared. I think when you look at it from a true recruitment perspective, I don't think this is what it actually is recruitment. What I really think it is, it's actually called relationship building. Because the reality is recruitment is fine in terms of just talking very loosely about it, what we're going to actually do. But when you build a marketing plan, like we're proposing to have done, one of the core components is going to be building a relationship with the potential members that are not members. And it's helping them understand who we are. And simply recruiting is great. You can go out and recruit anybody to do anything based on what you share with them. And will some people jump on it? Sure they will. Some won't. But if you build a relationship and you build it as a relationship structured approach, you're going to have a much better time getting them to buy in and understand what Masonry is. And you're going to be able to keep them further on down the path. One of the big challenges we have right now is SNPDs. And a high majority of the SNPDs happen within the first 3 years after an individual is raised.
And why don't you share what that is for everybody, just in case somebody's listening and doesn't know what that is?
Which part?
The SN.
Okay, the SNPD is the suspension for non-payment of dues. It's basically the voluntary exit quietly from Masonry. Yeah.
Irish goodbye.
Yep. It's where you just decide to ignore the annual dues notice and quit quietly without saying why.
Right.
And so what I believe part of this approach is going to need to be is addressing why SNPDs are occurring the way they are and what we can do to better sustain the actual membership we're bringing in. And so it's really a two-pronged approach. It is the quote-unquote recruitment process, but it's also the membership sustainment process. And it's helping each of the lodges build a program that can help keep those Masons in their lodge. And that is going to be a challenge for a lot of lodges. I will not be the first to challenge that, because there are a lot of lodges that simply exist to be a lodge. They don't exist to build the membership and the brotherhood. Uh-huh. And that is a challenge that lodges are going to have to take a step back and take a hard look at how they do things. We know that there's a lot of lodges that are failing right now. There is no getting around the path on that one. There's a lot of lodges that are failing. There's a lot of lodges that have communicated out to the Grand Lodge they want to either close or consolidate. The Grand Secretary's office is working with several potential consolidations right now. If you look at a membership statistic, which is one of these weird little quirks of the way consolidations work, if you're the lodge that's closing and merging into another lodge, the closing lodge membership rarely will stick in the new lodge longer than 5 years. So when a consolidation happens and the receiving lodge sustains itself, it keeps growing, keeps doing what it does, but the lodge that closed down, typically within 5 years, a majority of their members go SNPD and we never see them again. And simply that's because we lost the identity of Masonry in that community, and it's hard for that individual community to move to another community for their lodge.
Well, it's never a 50-50 thing either.
No,
I mean,
no,
and that's the problem. I mean, it's like a divorce, you know, mm-hmm. You got the gold mine, I got the shaft. That's how it basically is said.
Sure.
In very simple terms.
Yep.
Daryl, you had something you wanted to say.
Yeah, and we've tried for years, you know, when I worked in the office too, it's like the SNPDs, are you contacting them? And kind of an exit interview, and it's failed. We instituted and required that each lodge has a membership committee, that are underutilized, but it really starts when guys
start
showing up at events and meetings. And that's when you need to start talking to them and to contact them and say, hey, we value your membership and we haven't seen you for a while. We care about you. That's, I think, the key to retention right there, is that we care enough about the members that aren't coming to find out what's going on in their life. It could be for a lot of legitimate reasons. Hey, I'm busy with work. I got moved to second shift, or you know, my family, you know, is expanding. There might be some financial hardships that we can help with, but just showing that we care about them when they're not there is the biggest thing. And that starts long before they're, you know, suspended for not paying their dues. So it doesn't start after, it starts before.
And the other thing too, I think is a component that we need to actively look at is and truth be told, it's going to be a challenge for a lot of lodges to accept and understand, but there is, you know, the younger generations are looking to be able to have more out of a membership than just simply attending a meeting and paying dues.
Yep.
They want to be able to make a positive impact in the local areas they live in. They want to be able to show that they're doing something that's positive, whether that means doing some volunteerism, contributing to a project, et cetera, whatever it might be. Simply just joining a lodge for no other purpose than joining a lodge is not fulfilling to the younger generations.
Well, I've said this before on this podcast that, you know, every investigating committee I've been on, one of the questions they ask are, what do you do in the community? And I'm like really blown away by that, because in their mind, you know, Masons do positive things in the community. They see the, you know, donations, they see them out. And, you know, I think every lodge can do a little better at that.
I think that adds to the, you know, those service things that we do, that a lot of places do, adds to the fellowship. And it's fellowship that I think creates the value in membership. And it's the fellowship, the friendship, and the honestly just caring about one another and caring about each other's family.
You know, the thing that I see, especially with the younger generation, is that education pieces are key. They want to continue to be educated. And I think that that's where, you know, in some of these rural communities where, you know, they don't have as much, you know, I've been to a lot of small lodges where they're like, all right, no education tonight. And then they move on to something else, you know, and, you know, it's a stated meeting, right? We've all been to them. You got to give them something that's other than, you know, somebody quarreling about, you know, how much, you know, the lasagna cost or whatever that is. So Daryl's shaking his head because he knows I'm right.
I do. And, you know, and I'll take it. My lodge in Polk City, we've got two good members, great members on the education committee. They always have something. And the last month they talked about the Noah Light Masonry. You know, it's based on Noah instead of King Solomon.
Oh, really?
And Hiram. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. So I did a little more, you know, I was introduced to it a little bit. I did a little more research on the internet. Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
All right, great. There's another rabbit hole for me.
There you go.
So I feel like we've said a lot of the same things on a lot of the podcasts. I really do. I think it's a situation where if you've ever worked in a big company, you know the problem. I mean, we know what, you know, the problem is. So how do we move forward, execute the plan? And I think, you know, the one great thing about Masonry is it gives, you know, like Daryl, you have 1 year to do your due diligence. But I think the other problem is you only have a year. I mean, Jeremy's the worshipful master at Legacy Lodge right now, and we were just talking before you got on, and he's like, I can't believe it's already July. Like, my year is pretty much already done. You know, right now you're on the tail end. So how can you, as a Grand Master, make an impact right now?
I think we are, and I think Jeremy would agree. I think we're on a real pinnacle right now. And we've been talking the talk. Now you talk about instituting a plan, but we need a plan. We need a strategic plan and a business plan for the Grand Lodge, and also press for that at our local lodges as well. And I'm happy to see that the Lodge Service Committee is proposing that with their area meetings and what they're talking about in their what they call the mini area meetings, where they actually go to lodge stated communications. And And it's just time now to strategically, we have the forecasts. Jeremy's run the numbers and they don't lie. They're about the same nationally as they are in Iowa. It could be maybe a little more rapid here in Iowa because we're such a rural state. But no, now is the time to come together. I think we've planted the seed. It's time to start watering it, and we need to get things done.
I think to go along with what the Grand Master just shared, over the last few years, I've noticed a couple different things happen with the Grand Lodge in terms of Grand Lodge leadership. And I'm going to phrase this with the perspective of when I first served as a Grand Lodge officer back in 2008, 2009. Back then, you could tell there was a dichotomy that changed about 90 to 180 degrees each year between Grand Masters. And there was a lack of continuity in terms of programming, vision, philosophy, and how we can move the Grand Lodge forward. What I've noticed over the last 4 to 5 years, that continuity has started to emerge a lot better. I've really noticed that between the Grand Masters. I've noticed that between those members that are being appointed to committees. There's more consistency. There's more of a unified vision and an approach, and more so than we've seen in, I'm going to say, decades, because the culture of the Grand Lodge was built that each Grand Master came in, they had their philosophy, they were going to do things their way, and hell be damned, I'm going to do it. And then next year, the other guy's going to do it his way, and I'm going to be a past Grand Master then. That was kind of the approach. And now you're seeing an approach where the culture has changed. It's shifted, where you've got the Grand Lodge leadership that's now moving in more of a consistent and unified pattern where, absolutely, I mean, there's no doubting that, you know, 99% of the path, AJ is going to be the next Grand Master here in Iowa, unless something weird happens. But the reality is AJ is going to do some things a little different than Daryl did, but functionally, by and large, the same philosophical approach to looking at Freemasonry in Iowa and our commitment and support of how we want to move the Grand Lodge forward is functionally on the same page. And I
agree,
think
100%.
That's an important thing to see that we have not seen in decades. And I feel very confident in that. And I've been able to see that personally in my own, just, you know, my own involvement and experience. And I think that's important to note where we're at. Daryl, I know you were just out at the summit. Can you share about what I just shared and how other Grand Lodges are approaching some of the similar aspects as well?
Yeah, it's kind of all over the board a little bit, but I do see a little more. Everybody's talking the talk, just like we're talking here today. And I think everybody is moving in that direction. And in a lot of jurisdictions, Iowa's is really unique. You know, mostly, you know, some jurisdictions, you know, it starts their line starts at the junior warden. You know, others, you know, you serve sometimes for, you know, 10 years before you become Grand Master. And like Illinois, I mean, they have 2-year terms as Grand Master. So there's a lot more time for others to prepare. But I think I was fortunate and certainly was brought in very early. So, you know, Bill Post, Ted Wiley, and I, you know, had a lot of conversations and helped in planning together. And I've included AJ and you know, in my, when I was getting going and planning, and I know Ted included him as well. And I think the same thing will transition. And I think that has really helped, as Jeremy stated, in a more consistent approach, because philosophically, yes, we're all about the advancement of Iowa Masonry and we need a consistent approach to get that done, because we realize it's not going to be done in 1 year. And hopefully we could get it done in 5. But I think we're on a good path and hopefully we can get something strategically. You know, my whole thing is, you know, I just kind of wipe off, you know, we statistically always think, well, there's deaths. Okay. That's, you know, our declining membership. I just take that off the table. It's basically recruitment and retention that is going to sustain us. And we can't do anything about our brothers that pass away and may they rest in peace. And thank them for their service. But it's more in the area of, getting more members and keeping them, adding value to those members so that they will sustain and stay as Masons, and give them activity and fellowship and friendship and caring that they'll be lifelong Masons, like all three of us are going to be.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. And I echo kind of what Jeremy said and what you said. It seems like now, and I think Bill Post, actually, to give him a lot of credit, and it was like a track meet. He started it, right? He got us out of the blocks, and then he passed the baton. And it seems like the past grandmasters that I've seen since I've been an Iowa Mason, it seems like you're passing the baton more than where you see on a local level of a, you know, worshipful master, where I'm just running my race, right? I'm going to run my race. That's what Jeremy was basically saying. I'm going to do it this year, and that's how it's going to be. So I think that bodes very, very, very well that you guys are all working well together and headed in the right direction. And I do think that we're seeing it more like a business. I think we're utilizing the tools that we have. You know, my only concern is, you know, did we see this a little bit too late? Did we need to pivot a little bit sooner? It looks like we're in the right direction.
I think you're right, Dan. I think it probably was recognized a little too late. It's one of those. Unfortunately, in membership-based organizations, it's often one of those things where, oh, it's going to get better. This is just another one-year downturn. Oh, this happened this year. This is why. It's easy to defend and come up with a reason as to what happened in any one given year, and it'll get better next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the other component is that there was such an influx of Masons following World War II that led into the Vietnam era. And in that concept, a lot of the individuals who were in leadership roles in the late 70s, 80s, and into 90s were part of that influx that came in on basically a significant upswing. And so their perception of how Masonry was growing was based upon the time frame they joined in and how their specific lodge was likely doing at that point in time.
Right.
So it was very easy for them to functionally say, oh, it's going to be okay. We're going to get there again. You know, this is just a one or 2 year downturn or a 5 year downturn, but we look at things and it's going to be fine. Well, that only works so long. And the reality is you look back over a 20 year window, 20 years tells you exactly what's happened. You know, we had a 59% drop in membership. At some point in time in the early to mid 2000s is when the recognition should have really occurred. It didn't. It kept on going. Now the reality is the recognition is happening because the finances and the membership numbers are driving that recognition to be happened. So whether it was done when it should have been done, or it's being recognized now, the reality is it's good that it's finally being recognized. And I think there is still time to build a plan. I don't think we've crossed the point of no return, but we're definitely edging close to that point.
Well, I don't think we can pick up another draw four card and have a pandemic. And I hate blaming things on the pandemic, but that escalated this very quickly. I mean, it definitely accelerated it.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah, I believe it. Oh, and I just do believe it. It exposed basically that we needed to change how we do things.
In a very rapid time.
And where we really need to get to strategically and as a business is to become more nimble. So that we can recognize problems earlier. We have the statistics to help us out there and to be able to turn that ship in the right direction more quickly. And so it doesn't take 10 years. We don't have that much time anymore.
You know, I went out to, I went to St. Louis with a couple of brothers, and we went to a St. Louis Cardinal game, and we did kind of a round table with cocktails, kind of a table lodge without, you know, all the, you know, festivities and everything. And one of the things that was brought up is they were talking about they all had their Masonic ring on, and how, you know, they were kind of ribbing me because I didn't have a ring on. And they were like, you know, that's a great opportunity to get members, you know, all these things. And, And it's interesting because every time I have my ring on or I have a polo on, I usually get a comment and people have questions. And what I want everybody to know is I don't think the outside perception of masonry is as bleak as it is on the inside, if that makes sense. And sure. I think that it's still, and I'm going to use this word, it's still very sexy, right? And, you know,
there's so a mistake.
Yeah. So I think that there is still a great opportunity to bring people under the tent for sure.
Yep.
So I would urge everybody to wear your rings and wear your shirts and answer those questions. And you know what? If somebody's interested, follow up with them. And I know that's a big thing that Daryl talks about. All right. So we've kicked everything around on your list here, Daryl. Anything else you would like to add before we close up?
Well, I just want to thank Jeremy for his service to the fraternity as a volunteer. You know, when people generally care about something, and I know that he does, and I thank him for his service, certainly the tools and the information that he's provided and the work that he's done on the finance committee is commendable and truly appreciated by myself and many others.
I'm glad to do it. So,
all right, Jeremy, anything else you would like to add?
I appreciate the opportunity to join you both today and look forward to seeing you both in person at some point down the road.
All right. Well, all right. That will end episode number 6. We will be back next month. Until then, be safe.